other dimensions. Key to life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing expanding your senses and the reactive mind. So it's a sort of a continuation, really, of what we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. So it doesn't matter if you've missed the other ones. Each show stands totally on its own. So do join us if you have a question. It's a toll-free number, and the lines will be open in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. How we want you to join is, it's not a reading program, okay? It's not going to be a psychic link. It's nothing to do with your love life, finding a job, or when you're going to move and that sort of thing. But please do, if you want to join us with a question relating to the subject, even if it's pertaining to you, that is fine. That's absolutely fine. But it's not a psychic link, it's not like a reading, okay? But we'd love to hear from you if you do want to join us.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirits Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other huge range of services we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend very long talking at the beginning of our shows because we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world, and Gregory Hay in particular always has plenty to say. Unfortunately, I miss the show because I'll be the instrument, and I have to wait to hear the recorded show some other time. So anyway, I'm going to pass you over to Sylvie and prepare to go into trance. Do have a great show, everyone, and thank you very much for listening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'd just like to say that we are also at the on Second Life this Sunday, the 13th of July, which is, it's at 1 to 2 p.m. PST, that's 4 to 5 EST. Just do join us at the Mystic Academy. Just go along, and I think we're at the Oracle Temple. But anyway, it's the Mystic Academy, and if you want to know any more about that, do get in touch, but we will have details on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. So if you've not joined, do join. It's great fun. Get yourself an avatar, and maybe you could join before that and learn how to use it and how to manipulate your new body. It's absolutely incredible, really. So anyway, that would be really nice if you join us. On that show, we also take messages from you. You can instant message questions into Gregory, and he will answer them. live. So check us out. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us.
With love and light and peace be upon you, my dear friend.
Thank
and
you.
Everyone else, of course.
Thank you. Okay, well, I'd also like to thank everybody. If there's anybody listening who was at the Mind, Body and Spirit Fair yesterday, we were doing spiritual assessment readings all day. Thank you for being there. So if there's anybody else that's interested in our readings, you can find out more about that on our website, spirit-teaching.com. Hello, Gregory. Sorry about that.
Hello, my dear friend.
Hi.
Hello.
So, today, expanding your senses and a reactive mind.
Yes. Well, my dears, we thought that we should really include this evidence quite simply because without the reactive mind, you would have absolutely nothing whatsoever. Nothing of life, nothing of anything, of the doing of things or the whole situation that empowers you or retracts from you. The reactive mind is so important to do with your whole spatial awareness. We have to look at what your consciousness is and how, if you make very specific reactions to the events of your journey, some might say specific reactions towards certain events which may be recurring will always keep you upon the same treadmill or upon the same path. This is perfectly true, of course. And for many people, you may tend to have problems in this area in that you become, in a sense, in a behavioral vacuum. And this really is what we would like to talk about at this present time. Quite simply, then, what this has to do, of course, with your expanding senses is really also to do with how you react and perceive objects and situations in your life. If you do not really perceive them with all of the information that you have, for example, many people may actually just be completely reactive toward whatever coming event. And so that, for example, if it's a situation, a cycle of events that you are expecting, let me see, I'm just trying to think of one here. Oh, yes. So should we say then that you are seeing an event unfurling in your mind, or perhaps it's an event in actual reality, and what's happening is that you know that you are going to have a reaction to the event. Now, let's say, then, that you begin to fall, and what you first of all think when you are going to fall, maybe it's just that you're going to fall over, and that it's something which happens very quickly, and then suddenly time appears to slow and almost be still as you see yourself going through the motion. What is it that first in your mind you are trying to perceive? Is this going to hurt? Is this actually going to be reactive to me? I must protect myself. Then your feelings of instinct, in a sense, try to move in to protect you, and you then take evasive action. Evasive action is all very well to a certain point. However, what part of this message has also done is programmed you into thinking, hooking you up, if you like, into thinking that you are going to experience some pain or other as the situation unfurls. Now, that's perhaps something which is overreactive. Should we say, for example, if you cut yourself with a knife, if you are chopping vegetables or something like that, and then suddenly you include your finger in that. It's not necessarily that you receive pain automatically. It may be that you do it and you look and there it is. There's your flesh is opened and there's maybe not even time enough for blood to come out of it. And what the first thing is that you do is that you automatically recoil from the sight of injury or from the situation. And in doing that, my friends, what you are doing is you are expecting certain messages, messages of pain. So immediately you recoil against it, even though it may not have actually begun yet. You see?
Absolutely.
And if you think about it, this is actually what physical human people do, that they tend to be reactive towards something using the reactive mind rather than allowing it in a different way. This is why it is that we wanted to specifically include this task as we have at this time. So what happens then to your reactive mind? You have a parcel of energy which is turned from the vision into your thought. Your chemical balance and orientation in your physiological mind, in your consciousness, in your brain, is actually reacting to the event. Your consciousness is already telling you, this is going to hurt, this is going to hurt. And the message that it sends to you is in recoil of that pain, that expected situation. Part then of what happens is that you wait for it.
Oh, absolutely.
And then it actually kicks in. And surprise, surprise, it's as bad as you thought it was going to be if you allow your mind to think that. There are certain ways and passages of actually using the situation to create aversion. And what you tend to do as a chemical physical being is you are reactive to events. So therefore, tending to compensate automatically in the given way that you are expecting it to be, not necessarily in how it becomes. So part of your reaction usually tends to be specific and actually not orientated upon the actual event itself, but rather through the placebo time field event of your memory. And so what we have to say here is that it's actually your memory which is typecasting the event rather than the actual pain being experienced. There are other issues surrounding events of pain that you as a physical being can move into, and that as a physical being as well, you can climb into to such an extent, making the pain as large and as visible in your mind as possible, so that it actually disappears.
Okay, so your memory, well, we'll go into that in a minute, but your memory is typecasting the event, so that's not only pain, that's anything, isn't it? That's, you know, if you think you're hopeless at you always fail at exams because you can't, your nerves get the better of you.
That's exactly what you're going to do, what will happen, isn't it? Absolutely so. And it's as though your conscious mind is waiting for the event, and it has already set the pathway. So what people tend to do then is be reactive even before the event begins to start. And that is part of the cycle that we see human beings moving in through continuously in a pattern. So when you are told, perhaps, let's take another situation a moment, moving away from that kind of physical aspect, that, shall we say then, that you hear that a specific turn of events has made it so that you are going to feel depression. That's what has been told to you.
Is going on at the moment, really.
Yes, absolutely so.
Yeah,
so what is it that you are experiencing? As a mass of people, you are experiencing not actually the event itself, because in point of fact, you may be actually immersed within it. Everyone around you is telling you within media aspects, that is, everything that you can have access to, that this or that is going to happen, or that you should be feeling this or that. some negativity or some disparate energy, because that's what's there. You've already been told it, so you're looking for it. And that is the situation that actually then overcomes you and plays into your psyche and into your reactive mind. This means to say that as physical beings, I know full well, as physical beings, you have to have a reactive mind. But the problem is that much of your reactive state is that you are allowing it to continue to measure your events. Your ability to overcome problems is diminished greatly, quite simply because you've allowed the negative energy to control your own energy field. And what's happening is that you're already in the cycle of reacting to it before the events even happen to you. And it may well be that you have been told that this or that situation is happening to you, so that you are depressed then about the prices of vegetables or what's actually happening, and yet you can walk into your supermarket or whatever shop and experience that, yes, there are the same vegetables as there was there yesterday. The same things are being produced. So at least you have food and you can eat it. Whether perhaps you may not buy 6 apples, but you can afford 5, is immaterial. The point is that you are still able to do that. You can move things around so that you are able to at least continue within your present cycle of evidence, that you don't have to succumb to this negative energy simply by perhaps not being overextending in other areas of your ordinary cycle of life. Just because one person says that you are going to feel extremely anxious over this very negative aspect, meaning that you do not have enough wealth or enough certain situations of material living in order to continue this standard of living, is actually something which is incurring pain before you even actually feel it. And the whole prospect, I understand full well that part of the situation, the cycle of events that you have at this present time, is purely and simply because governments and corporations, situations, have overblown specific cycles of life. For example, there is a whole situation at this present time over methanol, over the certain calibration of overcoming specific oil needs with other fuels, biofuels, and that kind of thing. The point of fact is, of course, that the whole system of biofuel technology is completely aberrant. It doesn't do anything to climate change apart from add to it, add to the disaster. And that's the truth, absolutely. It has no particular effect. In fact, it's very harmful to the environment because it's far worse, produces far more carbon, actually, into the atmosphere than if you had gone the same distance with petrol.
So before you move on, you need to clarify. So what do you suggest there, then, in that respect?
Well, the point is,
I know that's
that
a whole new show.
Absolutely. Well, because it's a completely miscalculation.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, very unfortunate, that people in the science industry have actually laid this pathway out and made this as the bona fide way forward, away from using fossil fuels. But in fact, it's completely aberrant. It doesn't exist. And the very fact is that it's actually causing far more harm upon your planet, because people are actually tearing down rainforests as quick as they can in order to produce biofuel, which is absolutely ridiculous. And also are turning good arable land used for food into biofuel technology, so it means that you're not growing enough food to feed the rest of the planet. And that also is why it is that you're having price rises at this present time. So this is part of reactive states of mind. And what you're feeling now is that you are reacting to the situation, but in a completely turnabout way. So what you have to do, I know that this is maybe drawing out the piece of string a little long. But
no, we need to cover all sorts of different angles,
yes,
because we don't realise how this situation plays out in our life.
Yes, so what you are thinking of, I know I am doing this, I am doing very well because of this, because I'm using biofuel technology. Absolute rubbish. You are doing worse to the planet by creating, by driving a hybrid car or whatever this is.
How should we go forward in that?
Well, the reactive thing, really, truthfully, to deal with this is that there is far more that can be done with wind energy, far more that can be done with wave technology in very small ways. You do not have to have a very large windmill in order to produce electricity. Everything can produce electricity. The sides of buildings can be actually littered with all of the face of the building that is not a window can have small windmills upon it. Think of that. All of the whole face of a building can have little windmills upon it, which will actually wind turbines that will produce energy and electricity. If you took all of this whole surface of a very, very tall building that you have plenty of in the Americas, for example, in any city upon the world, you have many, many hundreds of thousands and thousands of them all across the planet. You have these wonderful tall structures with sheer glass sides, and only one portion of this building has actual is actually a part of it that you look through. Very well, keep the part that you look through, and the rest of it place upon the outside of it with a suction pad. You can place a windmill, which will generate electricity. It only needs to be perhaps 12 inches in diameter, maybe even less than that, a small thing. And that itself will turn in a perfectly ordinate way and produce power, every single one of them. Imagine it. You would have a tall building, and it would have actually millions of little units all producing power.
People worry too much about what things look like, don't they? That's the problem.
Yes, absolutely. And rather, what you're doing is just building structures that don't do anything except what goes on the inside. And instead of... So really, you aren't actually facing the problem at all. If you did that, if you created wind turbine power everywhere that you can, you would never have a problem. You would not have to build not one more nuclear power station, which incidentally creates a vast array of carbon deposits, enormous carbon deposit and damage to the planet. We're not talking about the actual use of the radioactive source either. And look at all of the situation that that brings about, that your reactive mind isn't even thinking about. Oh, no, nuclear power is wonderful because it doesn't actually pollute the planet. Of course it does. Wind turbines do not pollute the planet. If you are using water and you are drinking it or you're cooking with it or whatever, every time you turn on the tap, you can actually use water and also generate something from that use. Not just for your own physical body presence, but because your reactive mind is used to only thinking in one little narrow parameter, that's all that you are concerned with, is doing that, taking the glass, putting it to your lips, rather than allowing the water to react for you. You are conditioning with your own conditioning. So let's talk about the situation of your reactive mind and what you can do with it, rather than allowing the reaction just to wash over you, so that you just allow the situation and not include yourself, not be proactive. If we move back once again, then, to the situation of the pain gate, or the pain situation that we expect to have when we injure oneself. So the first thing that you do is you recoil away. You take your finger away from the event, away from the damage you've just done to it, shall we say, as you have cut your finger or something like that. So the first thing that you do is you actually hold the offended place.
Mm-hmm.
You hold it and you squeeze it. Now, the first thing that that's going to actually do is a great deal of positivity to you, because as you squeeze it, you reduce the blood flow and blood supply. You also, what you'll also do is actually reduce the positivity of nervous display, which then sends neurological signposts back to, and sine waves back to, the chemical physiological brain. Part of what you can do as a spirit having a physical experience is most interesting, because what you can do is use your aspect of a meditative state, say meditation particularly, to do with this, actually to turn this reflective state around, so that rather than you reactive, being a reactive mind, and you just allowing that reaction to take place, that you actually change the reaction for something else. If you are proactive about this condition, you will change your life and the lives of others simply by reacting completely differently. If you think about that for a moment, exactly how it will change your life. So rather than you reacting as the way that situations want you to react, because you're allowing it, don't allow it. Do something different. Instead of recoiling away from the pain, because that's what you expect, pain, intensive pain, make it bigger. Focus upon it in your mind, as big as possible. Move into the seat of pain. Focus upon it and make it as large as you possibly can in your mind. Why? Quite simply, what you're going to do then is when you've got it as large as you possibly can be, not that you're reacting to it and recoiling at the pain, but that it's there in your mind. Hold it for as long as you can, and then let the energy go. Just turn off the mind. You can do this with a meditative state called Sekhsi. And what you do is you organize your consciousness and become in control of it, so that you allow your intention over your consciousness to dissipate and be gone. You allow the thought to dissipate and be gone, quite simply by not giving it any more energy.
And the safety meditation is something that we, told us about, that you do in the spirit world. So,
yes.
Just in case anybody was wondering about that. But
yes.
How long do you hold it? I mean, how do you know when to let it go? You know, when you're blowing it, you're blowing it up in your mind.
So once you've blown it up in your mind and you can see it and you immerse yourself into that experience, not recoiling from the pain, because actually when you move into the experience of pain, really, your reactive mind understands that pain isn't actually as you expect it to be. Most of what pain is your reactive mind. It's not actual. It's not the state of what you experience. You are reacting to the experience and recoiling away. And so it's chasing you. And what you're tending to do, and what you do, whatever the pain is, wherever it is, that is what you do. You experience it and you recoil away from it, which then makes it come after you, and you, through fear, create a cycle which makes the pain worse, rather than you facing it, looking straight into it, and focusing it so that it's as big as possible.
You make it sound like it's got a mind of its own, that, you know, that it comes after you, sort of thing.
Well, but it has, because it's what you do.
So you've created the pathway to
yes,
it, basically.
Absolutely so. And what simply happens, my dear friend, you could actually do away with any medication. It's not mind over matter. It is mind over your mind.
You'd have to be totally unconscious a lot of the time. You couldn't do away with it completely, could you? Because you'd have to be meditating on it all of the time.
No, that is not true. The point is it's amount of what you expect to have. So let's say then that you're a person who suffers from migraine headaches. What is it that you actually recoil to? You feel the pressure building up. Perhaps it's in the front or it's at the back. You feel the telltale signs of the muscle groups and the ways in which the focus begins from either the back of the neck and moves up and over the top of the crown of your head, or that it starts from behind the eyes and begins to coordinate your senses into a certain way of exclusion. Oh, I feel a migraine coming on. That's your first sentence that comes out of the situation. You recoil from the pain you experience. You recoil from it and you become reactive completely to it. That's what you do. As human beings, it's what you do. So how you overcome this is that you have to use this meditation, not medication.
So does it have to be pain? It doesn't have to be pain, does it? So
no, I'm just using it as an evidence.
Absolutely. Well, the more
that you can relate to on a physical level.
And the more that we can do that, the clearer the picture for
absolutely.
People, basically, on how it does work.
Absolutely. So what you have to do, instead of recoiling away from the event, look into it, stare it down, and you will see that actually the event is not the same as you had already preordained it to be. That is really what I'm saying. What the conscious mind tends to do is that it runs away with you.
So physiologically, biologically, chemically, things happen when you think these thoughts, basically.
Yes.
Don't they, first of all? And they run their course.
Yes, absolutely so. So it can quite easily be that what you profoundly expect to happen will happen. So that it may be, for example, that you have an anesthetic. Perhaps it's a local anesthetic. And what you expect to have is that you expect to have the pain gone. Maybe it's just to do with a filling for your teeth or something like that. So you have this injection and there it is. You expect the pain to be gone. But lo and behold, the person starts drilling your mouth, drilling the tooth or whatever, and you experience pain. But the point that you experience it at is that you recoil from it. Instead of allowing it, moving into it, and actually finding that the pain is not as you thought it would be. You are seeing it as an illogical conclusion, because you have already formed it in your consciousness. This is going to hurt. You recoil away from it. The situation then can become, in fact, that you actually are able to remove your consciousness once it is that you have focused sufficiently upon it. How do you know then that you've focused enough upon it, upon the event?
Mm-hmm.
Well, shall we say then, the point of the toothache. or the pain from somebody actually creating pain upon you. So you move the pain into the seat of realm of focus. That's the first thing to do. You focus upon the site of the pain or upon the site of the event. You are actually using this focus to explode the event, to mirror it, to allow you to look into it completely. And what you will find and discover is, in fact, that the pain, in a sense, seems to move into a periphery. And that as you stare into it, that the actual center of the seat of pain is not what you expect it to be. This is actual, a real event. It's what is not real is your external reaction to the event. And that's, if you think of it in terms of that it's a ring, the seat of pain is a ring. And as you look further and further into it, what it is that you actually do is that the actual external ring of pain that is the actual seat of pain moves outside of your vision. And because of the fact that you are focused so closely upon it, it means that it's actually as large as it possibly can be. So the energy has become as focused as possible. You cannot even see the periphery of the vision of pain that you are in. Then what you do is you turn the vision off. And that is where safety meditation comes in. Because it gives you an ability to focus upon the condition of your insight, your inner sight, so that you are able to then disallow the energy engagement.
Okay, so you program yourself, don't you, as we were just talking about. But it's interesting that maybe some people have to go through this situation. Say they can't have certain drugs, they can't do certain things, they have to put up with certain pain. It's funny how you just get on with things when you actually, for some reason, physically can't do something. Maybe you're allergic to something or some tablets or medication or whatever, and you have to, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely
so. You get on with it, don't you?
Yes, absolutely so. So what you actually do is you use this specific form of meditation of allowing and releasing in order to change the typecast eventuality that you experience. And what it does then is it alters the program of your consciousness eventually. You have to keep doing it. That's the point. Because otherwise you will relate back to the previous ways that you had experienced or the previous ways that you had already typecast your situation.
Okay, so we'll talk about how to do it in a little while, actually. Would you say, or what seems with we're talking about pain in particular at the moment. Women seem to be able to take pain. Everybody says this. Now, is this a fact that women can take pain more than men?
Yes, men are very often wimps. I believe that's the word you use.
But is this something that is, is this a truth? I mean, is this biologically a truth?
Yes, and the reason for it, actually, is it's a coping mechanism, particularly to do with the actual reproductive system and the ability of women to be able to cope with those energies and those situations. Actually, what tend to happen is that they actually immerse into it, and then for some women, of course, they're able to cope with pain better than others. I understand that pain is not something that anyone really particularly wants to go through. However, what I'm saying is that there are conditions of the mind where you can alter your reactive states to it.
And that is actually what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
The reactive mind and coping mechanisms.
Yes.
And also this goes with our everyday life, really, because you can actually recreate and get rid of, say, maybe phobias and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
That way, surely.
So, absolutely. That is how you do that, in fact. Yes, quite so. So it's actually using exactly the same mechanism. If you move your situation into it, don't be reactive in your ordinary reactive state, but actually hold the situation there, still in your mind. By doing that, you are actually able then to understand what the reactive is. So what I'm saying, shall we say, you're frightened of something. You're frightened of a particular kind of event. Maybe it's being in a lift, in an enclosed environment. The first part of this situation that happens to you is that you tense. You become intensive, and then what happens is that intention actually slows down your breathing ability, and yet at the same time exacerbates it because your heart is pumping faster, because you are stressed, because you are nervous about the condition you are feeling, that you're overcoming. And much of what you deal with, how you deal with the situation, is that you are reactive to the event just in type and form, not the actual event that's taking place. So you then become reactive physiologically, and you are then at odds with your whole body function as it begins to try to protect you purely and simply because of a cycle of events, not because of the actual reactive state that's happening. And what's happening in your mind is that it's becoming an oppressive situation, which then controls, holds your control, and there it is. And instead of you actually moving into it and rationally reanalyzing the situation, you just allow it to repeat the cycle.
So we're talking about opening doors and creating new pathways for our mind, aren't we?
Yes.
Closing doors and as well.
And closing them too. And what part of the situation of what you find when you're in the lift may well be that it's the oppression. It's the fact that you feel you cannot get out, which is irrational. It's just the fact that it's a temporary state of mind. And the conclusions that you draw upon are reactive to past events. So your emotive is just merely focusing you upon the state of mind that you had before the event even arrived.
Well, absolutely. And in this way as well, then, this is how you can recreate yourself, can't you? You can
exactly.
Wake up tomorrow. I know it's not easy, but you can. You can wake up tomorrow and you can decide that, you know, certain things that you don't like about yourself and the certain, maybe, things that you would like to be like.
Yes.
And then...
And change them.
And change that and actually be this other person.
Absolutely so. And it's all to do with your attitude of mind. I hear time and time again many people say, oh, well, I was born in this place or whatever, and I cannot change anything. But you can only change nothing because that's the cycle you have allowed yourself to be in. And I am very sorry for many, many people who are perhaps born in the wrong place. But look at it this way. You feel sorry for yourself at this time because you are born in the wrong place. You're still eating food, though.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, if you're able to do that, then that's a good situation. That's a good condition. If you're not able to do that, you have legs.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. If you don't, then maybe you have another way of mobility. If you are totally dependent upon somebody else, perhaps you are suffering from some such physical abnormality or something that you were born with that precludes your ability to organize your life as a free-thinking individual, and that you are completely at the whim of others. It is still an event that you can change events in your mind in the way that you think, in the way that you're reactive to your world. You can actually make things be better. You still have a voice. If you still have a consciousness that you can be reactive with that consciousness, use your consciousness to think. To think in terms of rational thought that allows you into seeing a problem and overcoming it.
Well, yes, but I think also it's our goals, isn't it? Our parameters and our measurement and expectancy of what exactly it is what we want to do and how we can achieve that, because obviously there's certain things that would be just totally ridiculous to think that, because we could never be like certain people, but we look at other people and we judge the parameters of how we are by them.
Yes, so expanding your senses is actually about expanding your ability and not being just purely reactive to the states of your mind, of your consciousness. What you have to do as a physical being is actually take your consciousness by the tail, and you have to control it yourself.
And be individual, and express your own gifts and abilities, isn't it? Expand your own senses, because you're not going to be this other person.
Absolutely.
But just pick the good things about them, maybe, that you would like to be like, and do your own thing around that, isn't it?
Yes. For example, Ben, every single thing, everything of object that you as a physical being react with, perhaps it's to do that you want to educate yourself along a specific pathway. Maybe this pathway is one which is well laid and well trod. Perhaps it's to do with mathematics, shall we say, and you have to learn particular ways of calculating a certain problem in order to find the solution. So there it is. It's quite simple. It's laid out in black and white. And all you have to do is learn to cope with the problem, to find the exact solution, so that no matter how this problem is presented to you, you can simply overcome it. And it's not something that you attract a problem to. This is quite simple then, isn't it? It's something which is logical, using the logical mind to overcome an aspect of life, a solution to a situation which has presented itself. You use the logical mind because it's the way that you have been taught or trained to do that. But what happens to your expanding consciousness and your awareness? You start flailing about like some uncontrollable young child or something, quite simply because you are unfamiliar with its outcome. Part of the problem that you as a physical being then engage with when expanding your senses is that you are moving into areas you are unaware of. So what you really truly have to do here is to not be reactive in the way that you had been previously to other events in your life, but you have to allow it to change your way of thinking. Many people discover problems when they are, shall we say, for example, that they're going to do a particular workshop on a kind of practice. Maybe it's an actual way of accomplishing some kind of communication process, shall we say. And you move through this practice of communication process, but you find suddenly it's not working for you. Why isn't it working for you? Maybe it's to do with communicating with those in the spirit world. And what you're trying to do is you're expanding your consciousness and awareness so that you increase your vibration, because that's what you've been told you have to do. And you go through this mirror image of what you are trying to, how you're trying to cope with this strategy, what pathways you're moving through this event in order to present the ability. And then lo and behold, it doesn't happen. You were doing exactly everything that the person told you to do. You're being reactive in that respect. You're listening very closely to what that person's mind is telling you through their articles or their situations, yet it's not actually reacting to you. And so people become very puzzled by this non-reactive state of emergence. the reason for this is actually because what the person is doing is laying out a specific scenario which is conditioned only to their experience of it, and not actually to the general experience of how people are able to cope with it themselves. So what you have is a non-reactive discipline. This, in fact, takes the shape oftentimes in this kind of situation, because when you are reactive to spirit in the spirit world, it all depends upon your vibration. And although you may move through a particular parameter in order to attain an increased vibration, that is, you've been told that you have to do this or that kind of meditation or whatever, and you find, however, that it's not actually working, that all you're doing instead is scratching your face or whatever, or that you're finding that your consciousness is not able to have the kind of experiences that you're supposed to have. Perhaps it's to do with that many people would rely upon an audio or something like that, giving them a descriptive journey, and that's what you're supposed to see in your mind. But for some people, it doesn't actually work. I can't see anything. And then they get very disappointed and despondent over the lack of energy or the lack of ability to actually see or focus the insight, the inner sight in the consciousness. And instead, they'll make it up. Perhaps it'll become an illusion or something like that, and not actually be a part of the pathway that you're supposed to be dealing with, purely and simply because you're being overreactive to the certain stage of events. And what you are told to think is what you then think, rather than what actually happens in your consciousness. It may well be that you relate to it outside of self, because quite clearly your reactive state is purely being typecast by the event which is being told to you, rather than you reacting to the event specific, or actually raising your vibration to accommodate spirit in a different way. Remembering, of course, that these experiences always need to be individual, so that how you are being told this is how to unfurl the event is actually far from it, because it's usually because that comes from that person's mindset and it was how they did it. The point is, I'm making here, is that when you want to bring about an event, you have to understand what energy creates it. And when you create a typecast situation event in your consciousness, all you are doing is allowing that energy to have its way with you, rather than you control the energy.
And this can go with relationships,
absolutely
all sorts
anything.
Of things, can't it?
Yes, absolutely,
I mean,
anything.
Absolutely anything, you know, because I'm used to this happening. This is always happens to me, sort of thing.
Yes.
So this program could have been called Controlling the Mind, really, couldn't it?
Yes, mind control. Mm. Absolutely so.
Yeah.
And really, that is what, when you are having a physical life, it's what it's actually about. How do you gain mind control, ultimately? It's the test of your life.
Yeah, I mean, because basically, you know, this is without all of the other material world situations that control us. We're just talking about, you know, the basic tools that we were born with here, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely just, so. I'm not trying to complicate this situation.
No, absolutely.
I'm trying to actually take the complication out of the structure.
Yes.
So that you understand what the mechanism of the mind really is.
Well, because we reach out, we do, you know, like the law of attraction, and that's fantastic.
Yes.
As well, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
You know, do it all, but,
absolutely.
You know, we focus on external things so much, don't we? And we talk about meditation a lot to bring us some peace into our lives.
As an external source.
Yeah, but we don't actually talk about necessarily so much the mind in this situation. But I think we've almost run out of time today, but
very well.
That's been very interesting, and there are all sorts of other avenues that we can pursue there and talk a little bit more about the safety meditation of yours.
Yes.
Which is which is something that you do in the spirit world, and all of the different reasons and methods that we can
apply
there. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, absolutely so.
Well, wonderful. Thank you very much, Gregory.
Well, thank you so. With love and light and blessings be. upon your pathway clear as your thoughts. Ah.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Good love. Bye.
Okay, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Just like to mention our website again, which is spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us. Maybe book yourself a reading. And anyway, just take a browse through it, and it's packed full of information. Maybe drop us an email. Tell us what you think. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next week, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.